Wow. The presence of God is so real in this place right now. I think he really loves it when we come together. He loves it when we come together. I just want to welcome Victory Community Church. We are so happy you're here. We are so happy you're here. Wow. I have been excited about this for ever since the first night we talked about it. I mean, I have been excited about this thing. So I really want to give most of the time today to Pastor Larissa because I know she has an anointed message from the Lord, but I did feel prompted to share just a little bit of my heart with you. And this whole month, we've been talking about giving love and love giving. And this goes right along with it, giving love. If you will turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 2:14, I think Ron also has it up on the screen for us if you don't have a Bible with you or if you don't have a phone that has a Bible on it. Yeah, we use our smartphones around here a lot. Uh-huh. Yeah, they're smarter than us, but, you know, it's all right. We know how to use them for the most part. Ephesians 2:14. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, but there's lots of different translations that are good, so don't get offended by that. Just embrace it. It's easy for me to understand. I'm a simple person, and I like simplicity, so that's why I choose this version, because it's really simple. New Living Translation says this, "For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He has united Jews and Gentiles into one people." Now I'm going to pause there for a second, and I'm going to ask you to think in your mind, to underline the word Jews and Gentiles in your mind, and then take those words out because they don't mean a whole lot to us in the day in which we live for the most part. So you put any two groups in there. Blacks and whites, rich and poor, intelligent or educated and uneducated. Put any two groups you want to put in there and then read it again. I don't know what your groups are, but we all have groups. "For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united blank and blank into one people when in his own body on the cross he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us." And I guess the question I have for us as we think about this today is, why do we try to rebuild a wall he has broken down? It is time for us to stop working in opposition to what Jesus has done when he broke down the wall of hostility. We want to cooperate with him, right? Now, you just need to come here every week because I like these people. I love my people, but they're a little quieter than you. And so I just love this. I might go for a long time if you guys, you better tone it down a little. I'm just saying I could preach for a long time with that. Verse 15, "He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between blank and blank." Some of us think we don't have prejudices, but if we see a person who has lots of money, we go, mm-mm. Or if we see people who's homeless on the street, we go, mm-mm. We all have prejudices, and Jesus Christ wants to break down the wall of hostility. He wants to. He has. We just need to get in line with what he's done. "He made peace between blank and blank by creating in himself one new people from two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross. And our hostility toward each other was put to death." It was put to death. Now, how many of you want to go across the parking lot with me, go into that graveyard over there, and dig up a corpse and try to do CPR on it? No. What has been put to death needs to be left dead. Why do we keep fueling anger and hostility when Jesus Christ has put that to death by his death on the cross? That's what he's done. Man, I mean, I love having Facebook. I do. Because it's a way for me to spread more good news and more hope and more light. But I'm telling you, it challenges me sometimes because I cannot believe the... Oh, we forgot one big old separation. Democrats and Republicans. How did I forget that one? No, you see what we do is we make a decision that what happened here has more value and more weight than any separation between us. I've told you, most of you have heard this story before, but years ago I was asked to come and speak at a Catholic school, or to teach at a Catholic school. Now, I'm from the South. I grew up in South Carolina, and I didn't even know a Catholic when I was growing up. I seriously didn't know a single person who was Catholic, just the way I grew up, you know. So they asked me to come and be a teacher, a music teacher at this Catholic school, and I'm like, okay, so right away, I'm like, Lord, you open this door, I'm walking through it. And I think it was the first, because I taught kindergarten through 12th grade at all different times during the day. And I think it was the first graders one time goes, hey, Mrs. Phillips, what do you believe? And I go, I believe a lot of what you believe. And they went, what do you mean? I said, I believe in the virgin birth. I believe that Jesus lived a sinless life. He went around doing miracles, healing, preaching, and teaching about the good news. Then he was crucified. Then he rose again. And one day he's going to come back and take us all to heaven if we believe in him. And they were like, well, that's what we believe. I go, yeah. And they go, well, what do you believe that's different than what we believe? Because they wanted to find that wall, you see. Even in their little minds, they wanted to find that wall. And I could have gone on and on about the differences because I saw them pretty clearly. They were in my face. And God shut my mouth. He said, no, do not talk about your differences because they are not as important as what you believe together in. That's what he said. That's not what I said. So I just want to cooperate with him. Verse 17, he brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Look, I don't believe God is looking for uniformity. We are not supposed to be the same. We have cultural differences. We have personality differences. We dress differently. She is making me look pretty rough today, but I'm glad. She is so beautiful and she's dressed up. And I told her, I said, you be yourself. I'll be myself and you be yourself. I'm not going to try to be like somebody else and she's not going to try to be like me because God made us unique. So we celebrate our uniqueness, we appreciate it, we value it, but most importantly, we value what's been done right there. We hold that as more precious and more valuable than any difference that we might have. That's what we do. So I just felt like it was really appropriate for us to have communion together today. And I hope you guys are okay with that. Because I tell you, from now on, when I take communion, I'm going to remember specifically that not only was communion meant for me to have salvation, to be cleansed from all my sins, but it was also to break down walls of hostility. It was done so that we can live in unity together. How precious it is when brothers and sisters live together in harmony, not playing the same note, playing a different note, but beautiful, beautiful because of what Christ has done. So I encourage you, ushers, to go ahead and start passing out the elements, but everybody, if you just hold them until the end, we'll take them all together, okay? While they're doing that, those of you who are parents, I want you to imagine this for a moment, that you have two kids, and your two kids come to you at the same time every week, let's say Monday morning. They come to you at the same time every week, and they go, "Hey, Mom, you're the best. We love you. Hey, what are you doing? I was here first. Dad, we love you. You're the greatest dad ever. Hey, why is she doing that? That's not fair. Why are her eyes blue? I don't like blue eyes. Blue eyes are ugly. I have brown eyes. Brown eyes are better. Dad, I love you. Mom, I love you." And every week they come to you and they have only good things to say about you, but they have nothing good to say about each other. Wow. Would you like that? I wouldn't. I don't know. That would make me so sad. I think that's what Jesus was talking about when he said, "This is how people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for each other." That's how they'll know, because my love has come into you and it has just absorbed inside of you and spilled out on everybody you come into contact with. That's what Jesus was talking about. So I just encourage us today to get in sync with God's Spirit and not build a wall that he has torn down. When you find yourself saying a word that brings division, stop yourself. Stop yourself. Now, I'm not talking about we're allowed to have opinions. We're allowed to speak truth and love. Absolutely. But if it's going to bring division, that's not even a point. I can't believe how many people vocalize their opinion not to speak forth truth to bring division. That's the only thing they want to do is bring division. It's time for that to stop in Jesus' name. By this, all men will know you are my disciples if you have love one for another. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." Let's take the bread together. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, the new way of doing things, the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." Let's drink the juice together. Father God, I ask you to remind us of the importance of breaking down or cooperating with your breaking down of the walls of hostility. God, we don't want to breathe CPR into a corpse. We want to cooperate with you. Learn to value each other's differences. Learn to value each other above our differences. To value what you've accomplished at the cross more than we value our uniqueness even. Help us to cooperate with you. In Jesus' name, amen. It is my honor today to introduce Pastor Larissa Moore to you. We've known each other for maybe 10 months, something like that, 9 or 10 months maybe. And you are going to love her. You're just going to fall in love with her because I have. And she is a woman of God. I've talked with her at length on several occasions. And every time we talk, it's like iron sharpening iron in the best way. Encouragement flowing between us, from her to me and from me to her and from God to both of us. And I know she has a word from the Lord for us today. So just give her a big old Oak River welcome, okay?
There you are.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, can you do it just a little bit louder? Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, victory is at the river today.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be here. Can we honor the angel of this house? Can we honor Pastor Sandy? Amen. I always like to put the disclaimer out there that I do have the gift of not preaching long. Not preaching long at all. I am a no-nonsense type of a preacher, and I do preach prophetically, and so I just want truth today. Can anybody just by a show of hands tell me that you're going to keep it real with me in the house today? Are you going to, okay, for those of you that are not, we still love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to school. Who knows what this is? It's a chain. It's a chain. Anybody ever been bound before?
Yes.
Anybody ever been bound before with anything?
Yes.
Anybody trying to get loose from some things?
Yes.
Any perfect people in the house?
No.
Amen. Those were just the angels singing in Jesus' name. I need to switch. Oh, okay. Amen. All right. It is amazing to me how many people, when Bruce Jenner decided to make his transformation, came up to me and said, what is God saying about the fact that he's changing into something he didn't create him to be? And I looked at this person who has been in church since Moses was walking the earth. And I said to this person, then what is God saying about the church that is changing into something he didn't create it to be? We're going to keep it real at the river today. And today, I did not come here to be your friend. I came here to set you free. I came here to set you free. Listen, I'm going to talk to you today about a silent person in the Bible. Silent. Her name was Dinah. And today we're going to learn how to get our voice back and how to get free. Because, you know, before Jesus ascended to heaven, he went and hung out with his homeboys. And the first thing he did with Thomas is he showed him his wounds. Church should be a place where we can show our wounds. Church should be a place where we're going to get set free today. So, River, Oak River, the chocolate chips are in the cookie dough today, and we're about to stir some things up. Amen. 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 So, if you want to grab your scripture, Genesis 34. Heavenly Father, I thank you today that you're in the midst of us, oh God. I thank you for being here. I thank you for your awesome worship team. God, I thank you for allowing them to lead us into your very presence. Now, God, open every ear to hear and every heart to receive what the Spirit is going to say unto the church today. We love you. I decrease and you increase. In Jesus' name, amen. As you're getting Genesis 34, a friend texted me after he had knee surgery recently asking me to pray for him because he was in so much pain, and the pain blocker had worn off and the pain medication was not effective during this time of his intense pain. And as I prayed, the Lord gave me a precise word concerning him, and in part, his surgery was necessary, and so is the pain.
Jesus.
The Lord needed his full attention and wanted him to be still so he could hear counsel from him in the Holy Spirit. And see, when you're in pain, it's a sign that you're healing. It's a sign that you're healing. We just took communion. He said he gave thanks and he blessed the bread and then he broke it. He gonna be thankful, but then Jesus is gonna break you today. He thanked and then he broke. And when you're on the potter's wheel, it's something about when you're being broken, that when he builds you up to be that beautiful thing that he called you to be, then you can fulfill the will of God. Now, I'm not going to read the whole scripture to you. But one day, and I'm coming out of the Message translation, one day Dinah, the daughter of Leah, had given Jacob, went to visit some of the women in the country. Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, who was a chief there, saw her and he raped her. Then he felt a strong attraction to Dinah, which is Jacob's daughter. He fell in love with her and he wooed her. Shechem went to his father, "Give me this girl for my wife." Jacob heard that Shechem had raped his daughter Dinah, but his sons were out in the field with the livestock, so he didn't say anything until they got home. Hamor, Shechem's father, went to Jacob to work out marriage arrangements. Meanwhile, Jacob's sons, on their way back from the fields, heard what had happened. They were outraged, exploded with anger. Shechem's rape of Jacob's daughter was intolerable in Israel and not to be put up with. I will let you read the rest of that story, but it goes on to talk about how Jacob was making arrangements for his daughter's marriage. The sons were plotting revenge. The rapist was planning to marry the woman he raped. But if you notice throughout the entire story, you never heard the voice of Dinah, the victim. A forgotten voice. She has no voice. So can you imagine being Dinah? What was going through her mind and her emotions? It was probably the same thing that was going through your mind when your marriage was on the brink. Your same emotions when the doctor diagnosed you with a hopeless situation. Let's be real today. When your job downsized you or you could no longer provide for your family. What about when your church hurt you? Everybody's making arrangements for your life and you have no voice. Confusion and chaos is surrounding you and yet you have no voice. But I'm here today to tell you that if you know Jesus, you have a voice. That you don't have to be the victim in any situation. That you do have the victory in Jesus Christ. What you went through was real, and it is real. But like Leah, the mother, what you are bound with affects what you are carrying. I'll come over here. What you're bound with is what you, it affects what you're carrying. Because we know a little bit about Leah, but one thing we know for a fact is that she had low self-esteem. One commentator says that her eyes were lowly. Some said she was cross-eyed, but in all honesty, she did have a little jealousy issue going on with her sister. But still, she got some issues, and what she was carrying was affected. It's called generational curses, and it goes down the line. But I'm here to tell Oak River that whatever has been plaguing you for years is going to come to an end today. You don't have to receive it. I'll receive it for you because I didn't come here to be cute with my brand new hair that I paid for. I just simply came here today to let you know that it's all going to be broken off of your life today. Listen, what God has placed in you will be birthed out in this season. You can't go into 2016, 2016 being the year of evidence. You can't go into 2016 broke down. You can't go into 2016 singing the same old song, because how does that make our God look? He ain't delivered me yet, but to God be the glory. That's how we do it back on. God be the glory. He'll deliver us one day. Well, that day is today.
Amen.
Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of deliverance. Today. Today. I choose not to walk bound anymore. And I choose not to be silent anymore. If we're taking notes, here's point number one. I'm telling you, I'm almost finished already. The enemy wants to silence your voice. Anybody ever been silenced?
Yeah.
You have the right to remain silent. I just saw it on Cops. I've never been arrested. When you are in the midst of an attack or have been beat down by the enemy, his main goal is to silence your voice. When I am under attack, I notice that my zeal for prayer and reading the scriptures is literally sucked out of me. My desire, my hope is lessened. But what I have learned is that you must open your mouth and be heard. This is a spiritual fight we're fighting. We are not fighting in the natural. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So if you stay silent, the Lord can't hear you to give you life, but the enemy has already won and killed you. How many of you know that you're not gonna stay silent anymore? Y'all, so don't make me come out there. How many of y'all are going to lift your voices even in the midst of your war, even in the midst of your trials and tribulations? Can I get a what, what? Who in the what? All right. My God, I'm going to get your hood in a minute. I am. Y'all too much. Yeah. Amen. Praise, praise is your biggest weapon during warfare. You can confuse the enemy when you praise God during your trials. Yes, you are human. Yes, your emotions are real. But today you must graduate from gloom to greatness, from powerless to praise. In the midst of everything you go through, you must still learn how to praise God. In the Old Testament, they sent the worship team out first. When David was down and out, he may have lamented, but at the end, he said, I still praise you. It's something about your praise that when the enemy thinks he has you just one more time, when he thinks that, oh, I've got her, oh, I got him, oh, I'm going to take this away from you, I'm going to take that away from you. Let me tell you something. Lord, I thank you for every closed door. Just start messing with the enemy. Lord, I thank you for those that have dropped out of my life. I thank you, God, that I don't have a ride or die partner, but you are the one who keeps me. Thank you, God, that I still have food on my table. Thank you that I have a home that I can have shelter in. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes when you're going through, he'll separate you all just for himself. Everybody crying because I don't have a friend. I don't have anybody I can lean on. But sometimes he needs you to just simply depend on him. Learn to praise God in the midst of everything that you're going through. Trouble don't last always, but trouble came to make you stronger. And don't get mad at God when he reveals who the trouble is coming from. Get mad when he reveals that it was your best friend. Don't get mad when he begins to reveal that it was your mama, your father, your homegirl from the job that you be buying cigarettes from. Put the cigarettes down. I mean, come on. Let's be real. We got the audacity to get an attitude when God reveals who the enemy is. But I've learned in this season, this is just me. I'm not talking to nobody else. Let me talk to the cross. This is just me. That I'm in a season where he's changing my mantle. Yes. And he had to close some doors, Nina. He had to close some doors. Amen. And in the midst of closing the doors, he got rid of a few people. Amen. And in the midst of shaking those people off, I don't feel so weighed down anymore. I feel like I've found my stride. I feel as if he is calling me into a sacred place all by himself. I'm in the desert, but I'm not without water. I'm going to just read the Bible. I'm just going to read because y'all don't want to play with me today. It's okay. It's okay. Graduating today. Why? Because what you're carrying has to be birthed out before 2016 enter in. Are you believing God for anything in this house? What are you believing God for? Because he's not the one holding up the blessing. What's going on with you? Oh, just check yourself. Check yourself. Praise, according to the scripture, is an act of our will that flows out of an awe and reverence for our Creator. Praise gives glory to God. It opens us up for a deeper union with Him. It turns our attentions off of our problems and onto the nature and character of God Himself. Very simply, we praise God because He is worthy of our praise. 1 Chronicles 16:25, Revelation 5:11-14. I want you all to know that I am educated. Amen. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords. He is our creator, our provider, our healer, our redeemer, our judge, and our defender, and much, much more. Ask yourself, what is He to you? What is He to you? He is our God, and He is mighty in battle. So why are you fighting for the victory instead of fighting from a place of victory? You already got it. You just need to praise your way into it. You need to praise your way into it. And I even hear that for single people today. You up here sitting on it. Let me tell you what I did. I went and got me a life, y'all. I've been kicking it. I've been going out on dates. I'm so serious. I grew my hair overnight. I got the receipt to prove it. Your girl been kicking it. I've been praying, God, bring good things into my life. He said, I already did. You keep rejecting them. I went to some restaurants and I couldn't even pronounce the name. Y'all been having fun. And I've been praising God all the way through it. Lord, thank you. But what else can I praise my way into? I'm praising my way into the place that God has for me. The mantle that He has placed on my life to carry. Because 2016, God is looking for the real Christians to stand up. There is no compromise in kingdom. There is no compromise in kingdom. If you are ready to stand in the place that God has called you, you can no longer be silent. This is point number two. This is my last point. I know y'all like me because of that. Amen. Point two. We don't talk about this anymore in the church. It's generational curses. They are real. They are real. Leah wanted her husband to fall in love with her, but he loved Rachel. She called her situation an affliction. Anybody ever been afflicted with anything? Leah thought that by giving birth to a son that Jacob would love her. Well, she gave birth to Reuben, and Reuben means behold a son. Leah was certain that this baby would cure her affliction. Genesis 29:32. And Leah conceived and bare him a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord have looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. That's what you call the first beginning of baby mama drama. Yes, it happened in Bible time. The baby did not change things. Her husband still did not love her. Her low self-esteem continued. Her affliction was not going to go away until she started to put God first in her life. Anybody in here tired of trying to fix the problem on their own? Anybody just tired of it? Thank you, Mr. Man in the Blue. I'm tired of trying to fix my own afflictions by trying to please people around me. Any people pleasers in here? Don't lift your hands because that's not. Just kind of do one of these moves, you know. Why do we care so much about what people think of us? Did Jesus care? Because He was too busy walking right. So if you're walking right, righteousness meaning standing upright before God. Why you care about what Sister Watermelon think about what you got on today? Okay, let's bring it on to reality. There are no Sister Watermelons. Okay. But what about how they lie on you? If you know you've done right, why are you being afflicted by somebody else's nonsense? They're gossiping about me. They talked about Jesus. When you signed up for His sorrows, you gonna share in them, baby. You have to daily pick up your cross and walk. And I didn't say it was going to be easy. They laughed Jesus to scorn, the Bible says. They mocked him. They spat on him. They lied on him. But not only Jesus, what about the homies that hung out with him? They got a little bit of it too. They got some of it too. I was just preaching on Stephen. They lied on Stephen, and that's what caused all the commotion. They laid the coats at the feet of Saul, and they stoned him to death. But before Stephen fell asleep, he said, "Forgive them." You better let these people talk about y'all. Forgive them and keep it pushing. Your destiny is way too great to be messing around with folk who don't get you. You are unique and wonderfully made in the eyesight and the image of Jesus Christ. They're not supposed to like you. They're not supposed to sing your praises. And you better watch out for the ones that do like you. This is Hood Teaching 101. I'm serious. Everybody that cries holy, holy is not going to. But so you think everybody that smile on your face and exchange a little, "Hey girl," with you as your friend? It's called discernment. We living in end times. We need discernment. Stop sharing your secrets with everybody. Ask God to fill your life with people. Ask him, "Lord, who would you have me to be surrounded by? Lord, I need intercessors around me. I need people that want to see me succeed, and I want to see them succeed." But yet we want to be afflicted by the stuff they carrying and going to impose on your life. Well, the devil is a liar, because today is going to stop. Amen. You will no longer be afflicted by somebody else's burden, by somebody else's nonsense. Let them lie on you. They lied on Jesus. Keep it pushing. I should have named this it. Keep it pushing. Keep it pushing. Listen. What you are in bondage with affects what you are carrying and your purpose. Just because mama went through it don't mean you got to get through it. Just because dad was that way doesn't mean you have to be that way. It stops with you today. We are calling out bondages that will strangle the life out of your purpose. Low self-esteem, generational illnesses, depression, educational failure, sexual addictions, alcoholism. What you are not facing today is holding you back from being who God called you to be. You can't conquer what you don't confront. You can't confront what you don't acknowledge. What are you not acknowledging in your life today? What is it that you've continued to put on the back burner because you don't want to face it? What hurt are you carrying today? What pain have you not let go of? What unforgiveness is taking space up in your heart? What illnesses are you still claiming that God said in Jeremiah 30:17, "But I will restore you to health and heal your wounds," declares the Lord. Anybody got any wounds that need to be healed? I'm just looking for a real church. I'm looking for a real church today. I got some wounds, but I made sure I laid them at the foot of the cross so I could be made whole. I reached out and touched the hem of his garment for myself. When hell was breaking out all around me, there was only one that would stand, one who I could trust. One that I could trust. Oak River, you have a call on your life. This church has been through transition, and you made it through.
Amen.
And you think that you're not a remnant? That's what God uses. Do you think you're under the anointing of this mighty woman of God for no reason? Do you think she could go through hell and lead you? Jesus don't use wimps. He uses people that can endure. But I'm going to ask you today to be like the woman who had the alabaster box. She poured out at the feet of Jesus her past, her present, and her future. And she said, "Lord, take all of me." And with all of me comes all of my brokenness. And all of my brokenness comes my shattered pieces. And today I'm no longer ashamed. Today I don't care what other people think about me. I don't care. And I may be out of order. Pastor Sandy, forgive me. But can somebody on your praise team just give me an old hymn? It's called I Surrender All. I don't know if you all know. Who knows I Surrender All? Anybody know? Somebody just get up and play something anointed then. And if we can move this out the way, I'm a minister just for a few moments. I'm going to ask my team to join me. Thank you. You're so awesome. I'm going to ask my team to join me. This is what somebody give me. Somebody on this end. Hey, Miss Alexander. Praise the Lord. Somebody coming. Nobody coming. I don't care. She's coming. Hey. She went around the back way. Okay. Well, I'm going to start anywho. Today is a moment of truth and realness. I want you to look in your hearts today. And I want you to search down deep within and say, I'm still wounded. I'm still carrying some stuff that I need to let go. That I'm not whole. That I'm broken. That I'm still claiming some things I have no business claiming. You are in a house with your brothers and your sisters that love you dearly. And I'm serious. I mean, this is a moment of truth. This is what has you bound. This represents everything, every chain, every fetter, everything. Maybe you're holding on to what your mother did to you. Maybe you're holding on to who hurt you. Maybe you've been silent for too long. Maybe today is your day of I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. You've taken communion. You've partook of the blood and of the body. And that's enough to make you whole, but it's something about coming in agreement with your brothers and your sisters from down the way that says, I've been where you've been. I've hurt the way that you've hurt. If that is you, I'm throwing it down and I'm saying it's not me anymore. I want to get made whole. I want you to come. I'm a count to three. I'm not the tarrying type. One, two, and three. I just want you to come as you feel led. I need prayer. I need someone to agree with me. I need him to move on my behalf. Lord, I surrender. I don't want to hurt anymore. I don't want to cry anymore. I want my family to be set free. Surrender all. Hallelujah. All to thee, my blessed Savior. If you want me to pray for you, I'm available. But today is a day of healing. Because the great things that the Lord has for 2016, you got to be free enough to receive it. He loves you. He adores you. He's here to break every chain. Hallelujah. Families are going to be restored this year.
Yes, yes.
Families are going to be restored.
Oh. Even the little fragments. Ha ha!